Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 9th of September 2013, the podcast that's feeling much better now. This is your host, Shane Killian, and we have a special treat this week. You've seen his name next to many nominations for Biggest Bogon Emitter and Idiot Extraordinaire. You may know him simply as D on the forum. Please welcome to the show, Dave Turcotte.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going great.
Oh boy, we got a doozy today.
Well, before we get into that, tell us about your new podcast.
Yes, the Superplex Brothers, which is a video games and pro wrestling podcast. I do it with my buddy Matt, and we basically just sit around and talk about, well, video games and pro wrestling. So if that's what you're into, you can check us out on Facebook at the Superplex Brothers or on YouTube at the Superplex Brothers.
Great. Well, let's retroactively copyright the news of the bogus. Yeah, so you're not supposed to have retroactive copyrights, but hey, the rest of our IP policy is so completely screwed up, so why not? So what happened is we recently had the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's famous I Have a Dream speech, and it really is one of the best speeches ever. And King never copyrighted it, and so lots of people, myself included, have used all these clips from it and the various things that we've done. You can get the audio from it on archive.org, you can download the video, and they have all this public domain material, and it's including all that. And lots of places were using the speech to celebrate its semi-centennial, and they found themselves in legal hot water, because it turns out King's estate has a copyright on it. Even though King himself never copyrighted, his estate copyrighted it after he died.
Yeesh. I mean, I heard I Had a Dream, but I Had a Copyright was not a part of the original speech.
No, I don't recall that. And this goes back to a 1999 court decision, Estate of Martin Luther King Jr. versus CBS Incorporated in the 11th District Court of Appeals. And basically, CBS was claiming, okay, King didn't copyright it, he didn't comply with any of the statutes on copyrights. When he performed the work publicly, that constituted a public domain publication. But his estate successfully argued that the delivery of the speech itself doesn't count as a publication, even though it was disseminated far and wide.
Yeesh, I mean, you know, honestly, this is one of those things where the family ought to be ashamed a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think Dr. King really would have appreciated people not being able to hear arguably one of the single most inspiring speeches in the history of humankind.
Absolutely.
Just because, oh, they didn't pay enough money. I mean, they're really trying to make a dollar off of the guy's name. You know, people can shout greed all they want, but when I think of greed, I think of stuff like this.
Well, Martin Luther King never made any money from any of his speeches or anything, and I think the few times he did make money, he either gave it back or donated it to someone or something like that. So he was never about doing this thing to make money.
Indeed. And honestly, stuff like this is just tragic.
Well, in the U.S., when the author of a copyrighted work dies, his estate or whoever owns the copyright can claim royalties for another 70 years.
That's true, actually. I went to broadcasting school, and that was actually a key part of what we were learning, is that copyrighted material is very protected to ridiculous lengths.
Yeah.
And it does last for 70 years after the guy's dead, which is absurd and just another example of how bogus copyright is to begin with.
Well, and when we get up to that 70-year thing, they're just going to extend it. You know, because they call it the Mickey Mouse Law. So 70 years after Walt Disney's death, Disney's going to be lobbying Congress big to extend those copyrights. Because they don't want the mouse going into public domain.
You gotta love it, or don't. That's the smart thing to do.
Well, now for some good news on the IP front. New Zealand has just abolished software patents.
Hallelujah!
Can I get some applause on that? Yes, in a 117-4 vote, I mean, landslide, New Zealand's parliament has declared that computer software doesn't count as an invention.
Honestly, that's a great thing. Patents have always been nothing but bogus garbage to begin with. Let's be honest, they're nothing more than a means to stifle competition. Let's say I build something, and then you decide, you know, I could build better than that, and I want to compete against you. Or you say, I can build it just as easy as he can, and I'll sell it for cheaper. Well, guess what? I'm going to try and stop you, because I don't want you coming after my turf.
Right. Or even if we both invent something at the same time, we both put our blood, sweat, and tears into it, whichever one of us gets to the patent office first. gets to sell the invention, and the other one's just out of luck.
That's when the rabbit goes up to the tortoise and shoots him in the face and says, no, you're not crossing that line.
Yeah. Well, you know, but as bogus as it is, you know, on the whole, it's doubly bogus to patent computer software because it's just math. All computer software is, all it ever can be, is just taking input in the form of one or more numbers and outputting a number. That's it. That's all computers do, and it doesn't matter if you're playing a computer game or watching a movie or whatever. It's just math. How can you patent math?
Honestly, who knows? You obviously can't. The fact that anybody could even remotely think this, you'd have to be insane. But then again, that explains a lot, so.
I'm gonna patent f of x equals 1 over x, and then sue everybody who made an algebra textbook.
You know what? I'm gonna one-up you.
Oh?
2 plus 2 equals 4 is now my copyright.
Uh-oh.
Anybody who says this, you're going to pay me billions of dollars, or else.
Well, and they just patent so many obvious things, like Amazon's one-click ordering. I thought the whole idea of the web was that you could do things with a single click. And we've seen all sorts of shenanigans from Adobe and Apple and other companies. You know, if you have a DVR, you pay that monthly fee. A lot of that, or maybe even all of it, is royalties to TiVo, even if TiVo didn't have anything to do with the development and manufacture of it. I mean, just crazy stuff.
Again, it all goes back to that original point. You gotta screw with the competition.
You know, there was a point, I remember this quite well, you couldn't save a GIF file in GIMP unless you paid for a license because the LZW compression was patented, and that patent didn't run out until 2003.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That sounds ridiculous and even absurd.
It is, and it's really at the point where it's pretty much impossible to write any piece of software without stepping on someone's patent somewhere.
I know. I mean, people make a patent for everything these days. But quite frankly, I'm glad to see it go, and hopefully the rest of the world follows suit.
Hopefully, but as of right now, well, as of 2011, software patents outnumber all other patents combined.
That's insane.
Yeah. But a recent study by the Government Accountability Office looked at tons of evidence and found all sorts of ways that software patents just don't work and are chock full of problems. And the EU is at least, the European Union is at least considering stopping software patents. So here's hoping they see sense. I don't know if the GAO is going to have much of an effect on our corporatist government here in America.
No, probably not. But hey, we can at least hope.
Yep. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your Bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. So we've been following the Edward Snowden NSA wiretapping scandal. And one aspect of this is the government's getting private documents through FISA, basically without any transparency. Well, now Microsoft and Google are both teaming up to sue the federal government, defending their right under the U.S. Constitution to just tell us what information is being handed over, which they say, and I agree, is their right under the First Amendment.
Indeed. Honestly, good for them. You know, it's about time somebody stood up to them and say, hey, you know, we can take so much, but you ain't going that far.
Well, it also says something that Microsoft and Google are working together. You know, they've been at odds for so long, but they're teaming up on this. And it really makes me hopeful. You know, hopefully Yahoo and Apple and other people like that are going to join in.
Indeed. You know, in a way, it actually is kind of nice to see, you know, some harmony in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, you see the bigger enemy in the picture, and, you know, you got to work together to take him out.
Yeah, that's true. And this is what Brad Smith, Microsoft's general counsel, said in a blog post, quote, "We believe we have a clear right under the U.S. Constitution to share more information with the public. The purpose of our litigation is to uphold this right so that we can disclose additional data. We believe it is vital to publish information that clearly shows the number of national security demands for user content, such as the text of an email. These figures should be published in a form that is distinct from the number of demands that capture only metadata, such as the subscriber information associated with a particular email address. We believe it's possible to publish these figures in a manner that avoids putting security at risk. And unless this type of information is made public, any discussion of government practices and service provider obligations will remain incomplete. Our hope is that the courts and Congress will ensure that our constitutional safeguards prevail.
Good for them! This still won't get me to buy an Xbox One, though.
Okay. But best of luck to both of them. Well, here we have more anti-homeless actions from government, this time from my home state. A Raleigh, North Carolina police officer told a group of volunteers from Love Wins Ministries that they could be arrested for serving breakfast to the homeless.
Yeah, more bureaucratic nonsense that proves yet again that government hates the homeless.
I don't think it's really so much that they hate the homeless. They just don't like the homeless being visible so you can see what a crappy job they're doing.
Well, not to mention, you really have no incentive to care about them when they don't pay your wages, so.
Yeah, and they don't have a lobbying group or anything like that.
Exactly.
Well, a spokesman for the Raleigh PD says that the officer was enforcing a city ordinance, and this is Section 9-2022, which prohibits the distribution of food without a permit. Quote, "No individuals or group shall serve or distribute meals or food of any kind in or on any city park or greenway unless such distribution is pursuant to a permit issued by the park's recreation and greenway director." So you gotta go on your knees and say, "Mother, may I," to the government.
You know, it takes a real special kind of scumbag to forcibly prevent someone from feeding another person and then claim it's for your own good.
Right. And the ministry had been doing this every Saturday and Sunday for the last 6 years, and then the cops just showed up out of the blue and told them they'd be arrested if they attempted to distribute food.
Yeah, who cares how long you've been doing it? It's our rules now, boy!
Yep. And another charity, Human Beings Together, was told it could no longer serve the homeless on public property. So the police ordered them to leave the park, and they went to a private parking lot with the permission of the owner, and the police showed up there and told them to leave there, too.
Which is completely ridiculous. You know, what happened to this whole idea of private property?
Yeah, well, I mean, the ordinance is about public property, but, you know, there's this idea that if you just let people in, like if you have a restaurant or whatever that's open to the public, then all of a sudden that becomes a public place, you know, just like a park or a library or something.
Well, this goes back to what I said, and this just further proves it. You know, why would you care about people if they're not paying your wages? That's the only reason I could see why they would stop people from doing it on private property.
Well, you know the excuse they gave?
Oh, what is it now? This ought to be good.
Litter.
Jeez. You know, it's funny, because the guy said, "We need a clean and safe environment." To me, that's code word for, it doesn't look good when people see them. It means we failed.
Right. We need to get these filthy homeless people out of public sight.
It means we failed, and we can't let the people see that.
Right. And the charities always clean up the area after they're done. No one's accusing them of just, you know, leaving the park in a hideous state. And also, littering, last time I checked, is illegal. So if littering is a problem, why not just find the people who are littering and arrest them or give them a fine or a ticket or whatever? And let everyone else serve the homeless.
Honestly, to me, it just also sounds like laziness. It's easier to just tell them you can't come here than it is to enforce the laws that are already in the books.
It's kind of like what they always say in computer networking. Networks would run so smoothly if it wasn't for the users.
Indeed.
Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy.com. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none, so I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 20% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about the savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address or establish your online business in a snap, all for 20% off. And you'll help this podcast too. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. More bogosity from my home state, this time just down the road from me in Charlotte. The Charlotte City Council voted, in private, behind closed doors, to give the Carolina Panthers $144 million. I always want to do like the Dr. Evil thing and put the pinky, you know, on the corner of my mouth. $1 million. For stadium renovations. And also raise taxes by almost $1 billion over 30 years. All negotiated behind closed doors with no opportunity for public input.
You know, I believe in privatization, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, that wasn't quite what we meant when we said take it private. Well, I mean, we've got all the usual complaints about, you know, the Carolina Panthers. They're like, you know, number 13 on the Forbes team value list. They made $271 million in annual revenues and $28 million in profits. Why do they need all these subsidies from the government? But that isn't even the issue here. The issue here is the city violating the open meetings law. Even the debates on whether or not it should be done in a closed session were themselves done in a closed session.
That actually is almost hilarious if it weren't so sad.
I know.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I like football, but this is just another reason why the government needs to get out of it. Honestly.
We're going to meet in private to determine whether we should meet in private.
You know, this is just a case of, you wouldn't get this in a free market setting.
No.
If this were a free market setting, people could voluntarily raise money to help with the stadium, but this secret deal-making nonsense is something you can only get when the government is involved, because obviously, not everyone's going to agree to raise the taxes, because hey, not everybody likes football.
That's true. So, you remember the whole Texas abortion debate debacle where they accused people of bringing jars of urine and feces to the Capitol building in protest? Yeah, guess what? Turns out it's not true.
Well,
shocking, I know.
That's not surprising at all.
Now, the claim seems to have started with Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, who said he actually saw people with urine and feces.
Oh, really? He actually saw it?
Yeah, he says he saw it himself.
Wow, I guess we should take his word for it.
Well, after the public fury, Department of Public Safety Director Steve McCraw said, quote, "I'm tired of reading that we made this stuff up. Let's get the photos we have to members and the media. Does anyone realistically believe we would fabricate evidence to support a political agenda?"
Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly what we think.
Bureaucrats do this all the time. This is not new. This is not new information at all. This is something that they do. It's practically in their job description to lie, to make stuff up, to raise their own political agendas. What is this guy thinking?
Well, I mean, he made all this grandstanding about, let's release the pictures. There are no pictures. None of the items were confiscated. And after the DPS argued that they should be able to keep all their documents concealed from the public, the Attorney General ordered to release them to the public. And guess what? No evidence whatsoever of anyone bringing urine or feces to the protest.
I guess you could say they're full of crap.
History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. Now moving even further from home, the Russian government is encouraging people to report their homosexual neighbors to the authorities, as well as anyone who disseminates homosexual propaganda, whatever that is.
Oh, jeez. You know, I can just picture this now.
Comrade, you must stop the gay from spreading. Comrade!
What is that?
I don't even know. I mean, if I have a book written by Christopher Isherwood, does that count?
This is like 12-year-old stuff. What is this, cooties? Are we on the playground? I mean, come on now. You know, this is just nonsense. I mean, they even said something like, this is the closest thing to spreading homosexuality as a whole. What?
Yeah, the notice was translated as saying, quote, increase your vigilance when you talk to your neighbors, when you're checking your mail, and in elevators. You can easily become a target of homosexual propaganda. There is one step from being homosexual and to start propaganda of homosexualism and molesting decent people.
Oh, yes, because we all know gays are such sexual deviants. They're not normal people who happen to have a different preference. No, let's forget all that. And let's make stuff up that we were saying about blacks in the 50s.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It really just is a search and replace, you know, find group we used to hate, replace with group we hate now, and just, you know, go through it.
Indeed. It's all complete nonsense. And honestly, Russia ought to be ashamed. We're at a point in time now where people are being accepted everywhere, and the fact that they want to remain backwards is just baffling.
Yeah. Well, according to Reuters, Russian authorities have already raided the home of Nikolai Alexeyev, lawyer and homosexual activist, and this was prompted by a complaint against Alexeyev by an anti-gay member of parliament. What I thought was funny is in the video of the raid, Alexeyev walked by the camera normally, but the prosecutors covered their faces.
Jeez. You can tell there's a little bit of guilt there, huh?
Yeah.
They should feel guilty, the scumbags.
They should. Let them feel some shame and express it that way. Our government should do that more.
How about your neighbors narc on the people who are that blatant in their bogosity?
And now it's time to feed crow to this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week, it goes to Allison Benedict of Slate.com. What is it about Slate lately? Who says that you're a bad person if you send your children to private school. Literally, she said that verbatim. I'm not paraphrasing.
Oi, oi. Who cares about what's best for your children? You need to make sure I feel good. What kind of moron actually thinks this?
Here's part of what she said. Quote, everyone needs to be invested in our public schools in order for them to get better. Not just lip service investment or property tax investment, but real flesh and blood offspring investment. Your local school stinks, but you don't send your child there? Then its badness is just something you deplore in the abstract. Your local school stinks and you do send your child there? I bet you're going to do everything within your power to make it better.
Well, let's see. Many people send their kids to public school now, and they still suck, and they're still filthy.
Yeah.
That's not a real argument.
If a company is doing something you don't like, the way you incentivize a company to do better is to stop buying their product. If you keep buying it, it's not going to get any better.
And what do you think, you're going to force people to just make it better? If they don't care to begin with, they're not going to invest their time in it.
Here's an interesting fact. Benedict's husband is Gawker blogger John Cook, who has called for the banning of private schools.
Jeez, I guess it runs in the family, huh?
Well, listen to this. Quote, you want the best for your child, but your child doesn't need it. If you can afford private school, even if affording means scrimping and saving or taking out loans, chances are that your spawn will be perfectly fine at a crappy public school.
Wow. Just wow. It's amazing to me when someone says to me, you don't need this, lower your expectations. There's something seriously wrong with that. Especially when you're dealing with children, which everybody says, they're the future.
Yeah, they're what you're supposed to do the best for, right?
Why would you lower your standards with them? That makes no sense to me. And you could talk all this nonsense you want about, well, if we were all in public school, the PTAs is where everything would get done. The parents go in there and fight for the children, and they go after the teachers who are bad. That's not true. I can attest to the fact that that's not true.
No.
I can attest to the fact that that's not true. I went to public school. When I was in ninth grade in high school, I had an algebra teacher who was terrible. She didn't teach at all, and there was stuff on our final exam that we never even learned in class, because guess what? All the final exams for that grade's algebra were the same, regardless of whether we were all taught it or not. and I had to go to summer school that year because of that.
Wow.
So I can tell with experience that that is blatantly not true.
And notice that Benedict herself has not moved to a poor neighborhood to send her kids to a crappy school, despite the fact that, the crappy school doesn't matter, and it'll make the school better.
Oh, that's how it always works. You know, if you're going to say that people are bad for going to private school, and then you want to keep yourself in the higher class area, what does that make you?
Well, I guess it would make you Barack Obama, because he pays $33,268 a year to send each of his children to the Sidwell Friends School in Washington, D.C., instead of the crappy D.C. schools, which spend, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, $29,409 per pupil. Not that much difference, just a few thousand dollars, and yet the private school does so much better.
But Shane, he has to! Think of his children. If they had to go to public school, they'd never be left alone!
Folks, if you're going to make special pleading arguments for people, you don't have an argument.
Different rules for thee than for me.
Indeed. The political elite, or any other elite, should not get some kind of special privilege from your argument.
Now, I don't even know what to make of this next bit. Quote, "Also remember that there's more to education than what's taught. Reading Walt Whitman in ninth grade changed the way you see the world? Well, getting drunk before basketball games with kids who lived at the trailer park near my house did the same for me. In fact, it's part of the reason I feel so strongly about public schools." Well, I think that explains a lot, don't you?
Indeed, you'd have to be drunk to think, screw better service.
Hey, this is the way we should raise our kids. Just have them all go get drunk behind the trailer.
Yeah.
That's a great life experience.
Indeed. But you know what? Honestly, all this boils down to is how dare you have stuff that I don't? You're bad.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, we can laugh about these kind of morons who claim, you know, I'm not proud of my ignorance. Of course you're not. But that's why you want to spread it to everyone else.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that. It's how dare you go against what our holy saints in government want.
Honestly, these people just need to grow up.
Of course, all of this means that Allison Benedict just has to be this week's biggest bogon emitter. And now it's time to brute force the unencrypted idiocy of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week it goes to David Miranda, the partner of Guardian reporter Glenn Greenwald. And you might remember we covered his detention and questioning without access to an attorney. We covered that on the last podcast, but bear with me, this will take a little bit to set up. Okay, so Edward Snowden gave his leaked documents to Greenwald after instructing him as to how the documents could be transmitted and stored securely. One of those methods is to secure files with a password such that only someone with the password can unlock the decryption key and view the file's contents. And Miranda was apparently carrying around an external drive with 58,000 classified intelligence reports on it, presumably delivering them to Greenwald. That was when he was detained and questioned. And remember, they took a lot of his stuff. This drive was apparently one of them. That drive itself was encrypted with TrueCrypt, which is freely available drive encryption software. It uses very strong encryption keys, which can only be unlocked with a password. Once the password is unlocked, you have access to the entire drive. Now, here's where the fail comes in. In addition to the drive itself, Miranda was also carrying around a piece of paper with the TrueCrypt password written on it.
Probably not the smartest idea to leave your passwords on you in the open like that.
Don't we all know not to do this? I mean, you don't carry around a slip of paper with your ATM pin written on it, do you?
No, and he has 58,000 documents on it that are all classified information.
Well, when I first heard about this, I thought they might have been sneaky, because TrueCrypt lets you set up a separate password that's a plausible deniability password. And the way this works is if someone grabs your drive, they still need your password to decrypt it, so now they've broken into your home and they're pointing the gun at your head or pointing the gun at your daughter's head or whatever and saying, "Give me the password," and you go, "Oh, okay, here's the password." You give them this plausible deniability password, and what happens is it unlocks not the actual volume with the files you want, but this hidden volume with either innocuous files or even misleading information. And it looks to them like they've decrypted all this and they're getting the files. Your real files are still encrypted securely elsewhere on the disk, and they have no way of knowing it's there. What I thought they were doing was writing down this plausible deniability password so if someone got it, they would think that they were decrypting it, but they were just getting innocuous or bogus information. But apparently not. This was the password that decrypts the actual volume with all the documents on them.
Eesh.
Now, fortunately, Greenwald seems to have been smart about this, and I'm sure this is what Snowden told him to do. Secure things with multiple passwords. UK authorities seized both the drive and the password, and they say they still can't decrypt it. So apparently the individual files were secured with different passwords, which you can do. You can encrypt a file with a password, or you can use something like WinZip or 7-Zip or something like that. You can zip it with a password, and you can only unzip it if you have the password. So there were other layers of protection there, and apparently they weren't able to actually get any of these files. But still, that's a very bad information security practice.
Yeah, that seems like, you know, a little risky, especially when you're carrying top secret documents that, you know, you could conceivably go to prison for.
So as much as we sympathize with David Miranda's experience at the hands of a tyrannical government that cared nothing of his rights, actually carrying around the real decryption password of a drive full of sensitive data blows away all other contenders for this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this melts-in-your-mouth, not-in-your-hand edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks to my co-host, Dave Turcotte, for joining me.
Hey, it was good to be here.
Until next time, here's a quote from John F. Kennedy. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Actually, you know, I'm surprised story I had didn't make the cut, because the idiot extraordinaire I nominated this week was the guy who said, we need to attack Syria, even if you don't agree with it, just because it makes us look good.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. This was dumber.
Yeah.
This was dumber. He got...
I mean...
There can only be one!
I know. Honestly, that's why we need a new segment. Insane in the Membrane.
I'll consider that.
Although we might get sued for that one.
Is that copyrighted?
It's a song.
Oh, okay.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not. Based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.